the home team.
And here we go.
All right, rolling into hour number two, the home team, presented by Golden Pantry Eats Drink. Be Golden, Chris and Jeff till 7 tonight. As we get set, we are buckled up for another 5 at 5. Brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Yes.
And, Jeff, let's start here. 1 year ago today, on this very date, June the 7th, 2017, Bob Stoops retired. Kind of a stunning announcement. No one saw that coming.
It was, especially with the time of year.
Yeah. Lincoln Riley was thankful, though, because he left him with a pretty good team, and they ended up in the Rose Bowl, which they lost. but anyway, Bob Stoops retired 1 year ago today. Jeff, question number one related to that. Who will be the next big-time coach to decide to hang it up?
Oh, it'll be Nick Saban, no doubt.
I think that's what Kirby's telling him on the recruiting trail, isn't it? Although Kirby's denying that, I know publicly, but come on, we know. Kirby's out there telling, you know, Nick ain't going to be there forever.
What's the year when he gets the mega, what do they call those things, loyalty bonus?
Or longevity clauses.
There you go.
Integrity fees. Everything's going to be an integrity fee from here on out. I think it's like 2021 or 22.
So he's not going for another couple of
years. I don't think so, no.
Meyer is – I think the thing with Meyer and Saban, too, is that they're so maniacal. I mean, what else would they do?
Well, and it is weird. Like, Urban Meyer now, he left – Florida, because I guess the pressure was getting to him and he was getting burned out. But now he's at Ohio State and suddenly he is in the toughest division in college football with Michigan, Michigan State, and Penn State.
Yes.
But it still doesn't feel like the pressure is near as high. The degree of difficulty is mounting the way it was for whatever reason in that period of time when he got burned out at Florida.
I think the deal is, Chris, with Ohio State being, as you like to say, the lone wolf in an extremely talented state, I think the recruiting's a lot easier. And, you know, he's shown he's come into Georgia, Florida, into Texas to get players. And if there's a kid in Ohio they want, they're going to get him. So I think that's the thing. Whereas in Florida, obviously you got FSU and Miami, and plus, you know, Georgia and LSU and Auburn and Alabama and all the Big Ten schools are going down there too. So I think that's probably – where the pressure's less more than anything is a recruiting.
There is a conference game against Rutgers, too, every year, which he
– you know,
there's nobody that bad in the SEC.
No, that helps.
So, yeah, that's definitely helped. So, what's the ETA then on when we get a next, kind of – I mean, maybe it won't be stunning at the time, but the next time some big-name coach walks away.
Well, I mean, let's just run through them now. With Stoops, seven, you got Saban and Meyer. Those two have separated.
Who do we even consider big-time coaches at this point? Those are basically it.
I think you've got to put Dabo in that class.
Yes, he's in.
I think Kirby's on his way, but Kirby's still young.
Yeah. He's coached 2 years now.
Right, right. Now, he's obviously got the pedigree.
Is Harbaugh? Harbaugh's a big-time coach.
Of course he is. Of course he is.
What about Jimbo? He's got a natty. He's not a big-time coach.
I don't consider him that. You know a guy who's a quiet big-time coach to me is Mark D'Antonio.
Yes.
At Michigan State.
Yeah.
Franklin, not quite. Chip Kelly, it'll be interesting to see if what he does works at UCLA.
Right. Well, he's got to get back to loving recruiting, which I don't think he ever really loved.
No,
and maybe
no.
Won't be as tough for him. He's not going to have to travel as far as he did at Oregon to get guys to come to L.A.
Oh, and Chris Peterson's a big-time coach, too, at Washington.
Okay.
And I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like we're pretty – but then again, I mean, Bob Stoops came out of nowhere. It just all of a sudden he wanted he wanted more control over his free time. I know we all know the story. Their father passed away young. And I guess probably about the age that Bob Stoops is now. And so maybe he started just to think about his own mortality and needed to get out of business that packed so much stress.
Well, does it throw it in there as an X factor that Meyer and Saban seem to enjoy recruiting? Because that was always the thing back in the 70s and 80s when the legendary coaches would get near the end. say, well, what's the one? Well, I'll tell you the one thing I'm not going to miss is recruiting.
Yeah. And then you could start to see where, like, the talent would clearly start to subside. But, yeah, I mean, we've known from those interviews in the past with these guys that are friendly with Saban where they've revealed that Saban didn't even like playing in the national championship game because it took him off the recruiting trail. So, I mean, he's like borderline psychotic about recruiting.
And I get from that standpoint, I think it's fun when you can look at it, and I like kind of peeking ahead and thinking what kind of classes Georgia could assemble. And in some ways, it's like playing general manager, and you get a bunch of first-round picks, and you're kind of thinking what this roster could potentially be. But actually going out there and doing the legwork, I mean, Kirby is amazing with that stuff. He knows the parents' names. He knows the grandparents. He knows what these kids want to major in, who they just played, and it shows. And that's why, in many ways, that recruiting's a young man's game. And, I mean, Kirby was academic All-SEC in econ, and, I mean, it takes some inherent intelligence to be able to remember that kind of stuff. I mean, if you're Chris Brame, hey, happy birthday coming up in 3 days. How are your parents doing? I mean, he is incredible at that stuff.
Well, he needs to start remembering the grandparents' names of some D linemen.
We're about to get
some of them.
We're about to get some committed, but yeah, I'd like to go ahead and get a couple in the fold.
Yeah. Well, Jalen Humphreys, as we know, he didn't really fit our scheme and system, so.
I don't think that's done.
We didn't want him anyway.
That was his first visit.
All right. Well, if he comes here, then obviously we want him.
Then we want him.
As of right now, he doesn't really fit our system.
He didn't fit our scheme.
Yeah.
We don't want that guy.
He's better suited for that Todd Grantham scheme where he'll have you sprint onto the field and then try and, like, plow through a center.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Best of luck to you there, Jalen, with CTG. Which brings me to the next topic of today's 5 at 5, and that would be Southeastern Conference. You know, I think a very underrated thing from year, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I picked up one of those preseason magazines. I think it was an Athlon. I was in a grocery store, and I noticed them, and I went, oh, you know what? Let me thumb through this. And I noticed one of the magazines it did a good job of listing, because I think it's very important, like changes in coordinators.
Right.
And, you know, I think for a long time, those guys have kind of been under the radar. But when a team's got to replace an offensive or a defensive coordinator, even if the head coach is the same, I mean, that's going to have an impact potentially on the outcome of your season. So, new coordinator in the SEC, most impactful. Or maybe just a place, too. I mean, if, you know, one where a guy left that's going to have a big impact.
All right, well, let's look at this. I think a place, Chris, where you're not going to see it is LSU. And I love Steve Ensminger, but they've just been rolling through so many coordinators.
Plus, they're trying to install now some, like, West Coast offense.
I know. I think that's going to be tough there. I think for Arkansas, what Chad Morris likes to do, that could certainly – play out well for him, but they don't have the personnel for it. So,
well, he's got Chavis there on defense.
Yeah, now that should be able to have, because they've been awful on defense.
They never finished any higher than, I think, 13th in every year old Butthead was there.
Yeah, so maybe Chavis is the answer there, but the problem is with what Chad Morris wants to do, he's going to want to hurry it up a little bit more, which is not going to help that defense.
Yeah, the Chief might not like that.
Yeah. Now, I will tell you this. This was a loss I hated to have for us. I do think Kevin Shear is a very good coach at Tennessee. Now, he's with the first-year head coach here. And, you know, and listen, it was a deal. He had to go. He was a position coach here, and it was a chance to be a coordinator there. So I think Shear will help that defense at Tennessee. But right now, their talent is just not measuring up to the elite in the SEC. And as we know at Alabama – does it really matter?
The one guy who's having the greatest impact on my psyche, though, that really helps cut the tension for me is Todd Grantham.
No doubt.
And because Florida's got a great head coach now.
And Chris.
And when I worry about him, I just remind myself that Todd Grantham is the defensive coordinator there, because I just – But Mark Richt, Bobby Petrino, and Dan Mullen disagree, but I just don't think that guy's any good.
I agree with you. And Chris and I were texting some this morning. I was watching some of the Florida spring game, and they look good. I mean, Franks has gotten better. Now, he's a big body, brings that power, and I'm sure Dan Mullen's thinking of some Prescott things there. And Emory Jones, as we all know, he was one of those three elite quarterbacks from Georgia, along with Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence. He enrolled early down there. The guy is elusive. He's got touch. He's got a really good arm. So he's going to be awfully good. So Florida, really for the first time since Tebow played there, I think they've got a chance to have a really good offense. But I'm like you. Then the one part, you say, boy, Florida's going to get really good again. But then you look on the defensive side of the ball. They're always going to have players. But with Todd Grantham there, that does alleviate some of those concerns about Florida 100%.
Well, with Mullen, other than maybe his first like couple seasons at Mississippi State, I mean, he's always had a great quarterback. And I would imagine between Franks, who was a big-time recruit, and he ends up signing Emory Jones, that he's probably got a little bit better of some material already in place than he did when he showed up. Because it was like Chris Relf was at Mississippi State when he first got there.
Good pull.
And, you know, I know Prescott got there and didn't play as a freshman. He played as a sophomore, but I don't remember. Someone was there, you know, for that first year that Prescott got there. But you're talking maybe like the first two seasons he was there.
Well, that he's also – he's got the eye for it too, because, again, how Nick Fitzgerald fell through the cracks is – They ran the T formation. He played just outside of Savannah. I think it was Richmond Hill. Is that where Fitzgerald's
UT from? Chattanooga.
UT Chattanooga. So he fell through the cracks, and Mullen was able to find him. And he's going to be able to get, obviously, some more highly touted personnel at Florida. And at some point this year, it's my guess that Emory Jones is going to wind up playing quarterback for Florida.
Yeah, Florida's win total's at 7. I'd take the over on that. Bad news, though, for the Gators is Georgia's win total's 10.5, and I'm on the over there also.
Adam Kramer.
So take that.
I like the Dogs. 28-14, Georgia over Florida.
Yeah, the Gators are going to lose in Starkville and Jacksonville, and, you know, they might lose another one or two someplace else, but they're at least getting 8 wins this season. They're definitely getting one more win than they had a year ago, because they'll trade a loss to Michigan for a win over whoever they're replacing Michigan with. They play Charleston Southern, Colorado State, and Idaho non-conference.
Chris, I'm going to go out on a limb, too. I'm going to take Florida over Kentucky this year.
I'm going to go with that also. 32 in a row, that'll be. That's game two of the season, too.
Then they get Bobo.
Bobo goes there.
And then Tennessee.
Yeah, that's win.
Yeah. But Tennessee's beaten them once.
Mullen going back to Starkville is going to be trouble for them.
Yes, I like State in that game. But then I like Florida the next week. They play LSU.
Yeah. Gators lost to them last year in the Swamp. It was close, though.
Oh, it was goal line stand.
It came on a missed extra point. The goal line stand, I think, was the year before.
That was a hurricane game.
Yeah, when they had to go over to Baton Rouge. And Jeremy Foley, he said, you know what? We're not playing at night, and you're going to come here 2 years in a row. He did what was best for Florida. Not what was best for the SEC, but what was best for Florida.
LSU got burned on that deal.
Yeah, because they have they had 3 SEC home games last year, and I believe that's the case this year too, isn't it? Let's see, Georgia, Mississippi State, Alabama. They could do have 4 this year. They get Ole Miss at home too, but last year they had 3 SEC home games. Yep. All right, moving on.
So last year was a missed PAT.
Yeah.
LSU won, right?
And yeah.
Then Texas beat A&M in a close game, right? I'm sorry, Florida beat A&M in a close game.
And I believe it was the opposite. I believe A&M beat them also in a close game. They lost 2 tight games.
And then that was their – I thought they won one of those. But anyway, they had 3 losses going into Jacksonville.
Yeah, they only won 4 games last year.
And I think they were 4-3, or maybe I'm sure they won the one before.
Well, last year was one of those years, too. Didn't they have a game stormed out?
They did. They did. So they went 4-7. Was it Northern Colorado they didn't play?
That was it. It was canceled. They lost back-to-back games. They lost to LSU by a point and A&M by 2.
All right, so what was it? 17-16 and like
19-17.
Wow.
And then it was 42-7.
And then did they win another one? Did they win like the week before the Noles game?
They beat UAB after losing badly to Missouri, and South Carolina got them.
How bad did the Chickens beat them?
By 8, 28-20. Ooh. Then Florida State got them too by 16.
That was a rarity, both Florida and Florida State having losing records going into that game.
Yeah. But the Seminoles still clobbering them.
Yeah, it's been a while since Florida. I think, is it 2012? Was that the last year Florida beat FSU?
So was that that was
Muschamp. 11-1.
Yeah, that second season when they were good. All right, moving on in the 5 at 5, Jeff. The Vegas Bowl. You know, they have gambling out in Vegas.
That's what I hear.
But college football still stages a bowl game there. In the past, it's been the Pac-12 versus a Mountain West Conference team. But now the Vegas Bowl, they're going to get a new stadium once the Raiders move down there in 2020. So they want it to be the Pac-12 versus a Power 5 conference school. Should the SEC dance with them out there? Pac-12 v. SEC.
Yes, because that's the one league we rarely play.
Yeah, I think that'd be a fun bowl.
I do, too. I think it'd be great to throw an SEC Pac-12 matchup in there.
And it would be – it would help, like – because if you go to the Vegas Bowl, you probably have had a mediocre season, but that'll help soothe the pain of a mediocre year. I'd rather go there than, like, you know, the Liberty Bowl.
It'll be interesting, too, to see, Chris, with that new stadium, if they kind of start to make a push – to get into that playoff mix.
Yeah. Now, Greg Sankey, though, he does know they have gambling going on in Vegas, right? And all the ADs?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to see them go out there to Vegas and say, you know what, we'll come, but we want an integrity fee.
You know the schools that they love to come in there are BYU and Utah. I've heard that when they come into Vegas.
Oh, because they just – they let it loose.
Sometimes when you're repressed is a bad word, because let's face it, we live in a pretty good time, but when there's stuff you can't freely get, and then when you go somewhere where you can,
yeah, and you just live it up. Yeah, I'd like to see the SEC though partner up with the Pac-12, and honestly, less because it's the Vegas Bowl, but more because I think the SEC and the Pac-12 should get together more often.
We've talked about this a lot. I think that is one of the things with these bowl deals that's hurt is the variety of games and opponents you don't get. And I understand why that the conferences and the bowls get in bed together, because the bowls know they're getting an SEC and a Big Ten team, and you know, for the conferences, they've got their schools protected, guaranteeing them spots. But it's just not quite as fun as it used to be, is it, when, you know, if you were having a pretty good year, and let's say you're Georgia, you beat Florida, and you say, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm looking at this, and we might could play Washington in the Sun Bowl or Texas in the Cotton Bowl. And now you just – it's like, well, you know, if we don't go to the SEC championship or play one of the big games, well, we'll either be in Tampa or Orlando, right?
Yeah. Well, look at the teams. Last year, Oregon went out there.
That was that Boise game, right?
Yeah.
That was a funny game.
Then the year before, it was no Pac-12 team was in it. It was San Diego State and Houston. Utah has been out there a couple times. USC was out there in 2013. Washington was out there in 2012. So, I mean, because the Pac-12, I mean, there is a little more variety in the teams that are good and the teams that are middle class than you might find in other conferences. Like, you know, you could show up out there and – actually get to play USC or somebody in it. So let's do it, SEC.
I'm all for it.
Let's get out there. Let's partner up with the Pac-12 and make it a date in the Vegas Bowl every year.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Because, if Georgia had an 8-4 year and we ended up there, it'd be like, all right, as long as we beat Tech.
Gotta beat Tech. We're going to Vegas,
yeah,
baby.
We're going to be 8-4, but we're going to beat Tech and we're going to go to Vegas.
You could see them maybe trying to get into that big boy mix, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, when they get that Raiders stadium, 100%.
Do you know,
they'll probably get it too.
Is that going to be a dome?
I don't know.
I mean, it's so hot.
I mean, well, the where they play now, like where UNLV plays, that's not domed or anything.
No,
so.
No. I guess, and it's also from watching all those crazy occurrences in UNLV Wisconsin games. I think UNLV plays a lot of night games in September, like Arizona and Arizona State do.
It's going to be domed. There's not going to be any clocks in it, and they're going to pump in like this weird oxygen.
Man, for some reason, I'm not tired.
Yeah, I feel really good right now.
And those sounds. Ding, 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 ding.
They're going to have those noises, too. That'll be their instead of cowbells like in Starkville, they'll have like ding, 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 ding. That'll be their artificial noisemakers.
Is it fair that they have slot machines in the airport?
No, especially when you're leaving there and you've already taken a beating. Like, you know what?
Hey,
I bet I could get it back right now.
On an airport slot machine. Yeah.
Where do you even collect if you win there?
I don't know. Well, you got to come back.
That's how it is, yeah.
Yo, on your next trip.
Yeah. Oh, we'll take care of you when you come back here.
Redeem.
Okay.
You know, isn't that part of the problem, too? If you go out there, like, let's say you go out there and you place a futures bet and I want Florida over 7 wins and the Braves over 75 wins. Well, yeah, you gotta get on a jet airliner, right, and go back out there.
Yeah, I think they will mail it to you.
Would you trust that?
No, I wouldn't.
No way.
No. Because, you know, you mailed it back? Must have gotten lost.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, this sucker mailed it to us.
Yeah, and didn't ask for a signature, you know, certified mail or anything. Yeah. He just dropped it. It's self-addressed stamped envelope.
I'd like...
Feel free. Please mail me my money back.
There's so many of these classic movies that get remade. Maybe if they remake the Scorsese classic Casino, that's a scene they could add in there.
Somebody,
this sucker from Athens, Georgia just mailed back a ticket on the Atlanta Braves going over.
Yeah.
You know what we do with those.
Yeah. Didn't ask for it certified,
nope.
Signature, or anything. I don't know. We never got any ticket from you. Sorry, sir.
I don't know the problem there. And you only get one card when you split aces.
Jeff, moving on in the 5-5, tradition in college football. We like it, right?
Love it.
All right, so how about this? We have games in college football that are like traditionally played in certain times of year. You know, the Tech game's always Thanksgiving weekend, the Auburn game's in November, and when stuff gets moved, it's weird. Like playing South Carolina last year in November was weird. What if, like, let's say there was a tradition where Georgia actually had, and not just Georgia, but say like all teams, where there was a season opener, and you had every year you played the same team to open up the season. Who would Georgia's ideal opponent be to just kick off the year every year where you're just, you know, fire, you know, the first game of the year, that's just tradition. It's college football, and this is you're waiting the entire offseason. Like Michigan and Notre Dame used to always play opening day, which they're doing again this season now.
We would often play them in week two in 1982 and 13 and 14. We played them in week one, but had to be rough now. What about Clemson? Bookend it with Clemson and Tech and 8 SECs in the middle?
Well, we could do that and then just – you have to play them again. It'll just be in the playoff. But that'll, a long time will have passed.
I would say – I'll give you two other options. North Carolina or Vanderbilt.
Hasn't there been, like, some chatter about moving the Tech game to first? Would you like that?
No.
I know you're for just not playing them anymore.
Well, we got to get 9 in a row first.
Okay, all right. Well, that'll be coming up in
8 years.
That's right.
I'll be
what year is that? 2026.
Yeah, I've got it circled there.
Okay,
but I mean, if you lose that first game to them, it's just oh my gosh.
That would be.
So all right, just pack it up.
Yeah.
No, you got to have that game.
That'll
at
give
the
you
end.
Long enough though to recover and maybe be able to put a Christmas tree up.
Yeah.
Like if we lost to them in September, would we be able
before
to?
Labor Day?
Yeah.
Oh my God. We can't even go to the lake for Labor Day.
You already like by Labor Day if you already know you can't put a Christmas tree up.
Oh, the season's over. But that might be a thing too. And George has done a good job playing big name schools for the most part in that first game. I wouldn't mind have a floater ACC foe in there.
Yeah,
I think North Carolina would be good.
So maybe not necessarily the same team every year, but the same – a certain type of team.
Yeah. What about the U?
Bring it.
We hadn't played Miami in the regular season, I think, since 66.
Yeah. The reluctance now would be
with
the
Coach
whole
Rick.
I
get it.
Because, like, the last couple of years, we've been on a collision course to play in the postseason.
I know. I mean, it was really – when they were 10-0, it was like, oh, my god.
And the year before –
we were both middle of the road.
I don't think either party really wanted any piece of that, so it
what
was avoided.
So if it wasn't Clemson every year, I think North Carolina would be a good one.
Yeah. I mean, I would be – even just if you wanted to say you open up every year with South Carolina, play them early, and just start the year with a conference game.
Well, remember for a few years there, I guess the SEC from 92 through – I'm doing quick math here – I think from 92 through 97, so that was 6 years in a row. Our first two games of the season were South Carolina and Tennessee. I mean, you came out, woof.
Yeah. No, there's no tune-up there.
No.
All right, that's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. I took